You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Gang's all here. 1 hour deep into this program, we'll check in with the Chicago Bears coming up in a moment. The new Peacock original Punky Brewster, perfect for the whole family. Best of all, it's free. All episodes are streaming for free exclusively on Peacock. Sign up. PeacockTV.com to get started. Our great TV partners, also our radio partners around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities. You can be part of the program any day, but, well, Monday through Friday. You can dial us up. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, didn't like from over the weekend. We'll get to those phone calls coming up. Some of the most famous sports curses have been broken recently. You had the Red Sox. They ended the curse of the Bambino. They beat the Yankees. Cubs snapped the curse of the Billy Goat. They won the World Series. And we've seen guys do well being on the cover of Madden, or teams survive the Sports Illustrated cover jinx. But there's a string of bad luck that hasn't been broken in decades. The Chicago Bears can't quite figure out the quarterback position. And now reports are emerging. They're all in on trying to trade for Russell Wilson. The numbers are pretty startling. Wilson has 5 seasons with 30 touchdown passes or more. Chicago's never had a quarterback throw for 30 in a single season. You can understand why the Bears would mortgage their future. They're ready to win now. Wilson's agent listed Chicago as one of the 4 teams he would play for. The only fear might just be superstition. Could Russell Wilson be good enough in a Bears uniform? Chicago Bear fans certainly want to find out. Do I think it's a possibility? Yes, it's a possibility. Do I think it's reality? No, I don't. The reason why it's a possibility is because Russell Wilson's agent came out with 4 teams. Cowboys, Raiders, Saints, Bears. And if you were saying in descending order, which ones do you think are actually plausible? I would start with the Raiders. I would probably then put in the Bears, and then I would put in Dallas and the Saints. I mean, you still got to be able to pay for Russell Wilson. The Saints are, now they've cleared a lot of cap space, but salary cap purgatory. With what's going on with the Cowboys with Dak Prescott, feels like Dak Prescott is going to be their quarterback of the future, and Dak will have a no-trade clause in his contract. Pretty much guaranteed. So now, where are you sending Russell Wilson? What can you get for Russell Wilson? Because that's the mindset of Seattle right now. All right, we may not be on the same page. We may not like that he went public on this program a couple of weeks ago. We may not like that his agent put out 4 teams that he would go to if he were traded. But you still know he gives you the best chance of winning. And if you're Pete Carroll at age 69, he's not here for a rebuild. Pete's running that team. Pete answers to no one. And if Pete wants to get rid of Russell Wilson, they'll get rid of Russell Wilson. If you're saying, hey, let's make this trade with the Bears, they're offering us Khalil Mack. Now, this hasn't been offered, at least not to my knowledge. I was told 2 teams have made offers to Seattle, but those 2 teams are not on the list. One of the teams, a source close to one of those 2 teams said, we put together an offer, we just didn't hear back because they're not returning phone calls. It feels like Seattle wants to engage with other teams not on the list because those are the teams that aren't good. Those are the teams that will have higher draft picks because the Raiders are a potential playoff team. Dallas is a playoff team, Saints playoff team, and the Bears are a potential playoff team. Why would I trade with somebody? Now, they want him because they want to win now. But if I'm Seattle, I'm going, well, what am I getting? I don't want to 27th first-round draft pick. I want a 5th overall draft pick. That's why you look at the Jets. They have a lot to offer. There's probably 4 or 5 teams that have a whole lot to offer. The question is, what would Seattle take in return? You got the $39 million cap hit. And would Russ go to one of the places that aren't among his top four. That's really going to be the key here as we move forward. What's going to happen in free agency with Seattle? Do they listen to Russell Wilson and say, we're going to get you some linemen here? Do they allow him to be involved in the offense? And do I think there's a disconnect between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, or Russell Wilson and the franchise? Absolutely. A source told us right after Russ came on the show, hey, this is a marriage that's not sustainable in its current form. And that garnered as much headlines or more headlines than what Russ was saying to me, because that felt like an impending divorce. We're separated right now, but we're going to get a divorce. And every quarterback, go down through history, how many stay with their original team? If Joe Montana can be nudged out the door, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Tom Brady, go down the list. Joe Namath, Johnny Unitas, Marino and Elway, they were able to stay. They're dinosaurs. Or Jim Kelly. But in today's game, it's different. You don't open up the scrapbook. It's not nostalgic. You know, hey, we're going to keep our quarterback. It's how do we get better? And I think if you look at Russell Wilson, he's not going to end his career there. Do I think he'll be there this year? Yes. After next season? No, I don't think so. Because it's easier to get out from underneath that salary cap hit with Russ. And he's going to be 33 if you're Seattle. Like, Seattle should get, if you want to trade Russ, do it now. Because I don't want Russell at 35. 33? Okay. Now you get to 35, a guy who uses his legs, a guy who's going to be sacked more than any other quarterback in the history of the sport. And now I'm getting him at 35. And Russ wants to play into his 40s. But Seattle strikes me as just play football. You don't need to be involved and be a brand. And, you know, just play football. And Russ is a brand. Russ and his wife are a brand. Also, if you have young children, as they do, you want to go now, not wait a couple years, when your kids get into school, establish friends. That's also something that should be factored in here. But the four teams that are on the list haven't had correspondence with Seattle, from what I'm told. And that's from one of the teams. Like, we don't hear. Nobody said anything. But I found out that there are two teams who have at least made an offer, the structure of an offer for Russ. But those are two teams that are not on his list, from what I'm told. I don't know the teams. They're not on, but they're not on the list. Yeah, Paul.
If you're Seattle, isn't the worst case scenario to keep Russell Wilson for another season and just lose him for nothing? And they know this. And they must think to themselves, like, he's going to bolt next year. We now have the green light to trade him. I know it's only the four teams.
But he doesn't get the bolt. He's not free to go. I just think that they'll find a way to trade him. So it's not like we're going to lose him and not get anything in return. He's still under contract. But I think that they'll be able to, they'll get less for him, it feels like.
That's what I mean. Like, from a PR standpoint, Russell and his people opened the door to trading him. And you could say, if you're the GM and Pete Carroll, hey, we had the feeling that this player did not want to be here as much as he wanted to in the past, and we accommodated him, and we're planning for the future, and we get rookie quarterback, all that good stuff.
I just don't know what you're getting in return. I don't want Nick Foles, and I don't want Khalil Mack. You got to have a quarterback in this league. Now, if you said, hey, the Jets are willing to give us second pick, Quinnen Williams, three other first-round draft picks. Because you can even say, we don't want Sam Darnold because we want to take Zach Wilson. Now we got our quarterback on a rookie deal. And, you know, but, you know, Pete wants to continue to win. Now, it's not like he goes, hey, you know what, we can take a couple of years off here. But Russell Wilson doesn't want to go to the Jets. Look at the Dolphins. We'll give you Tua, the third pick overall, three other first-round draft picks. Russ does not want to go to Miami. Yeah, McClellan.
And the Jets don't want Russell Wilson, do they? In that scenario, because they're nowhere near winning, I would think. I mean, they've won one, two games last year.
If I'm the Jets, would not want Russell Wilson.
You'd want Zach Wilson and because of the reason you just said.
Yes, I would. I want the rookie contract. You know, it's one of those where you start to look at this and, you know, I talk to enough people or people, you know, reach out and give me information. Like Sam Darnold could end up with San Francisco. And I'm just throwing out hypotheticals here with a little bit of inside information. Let's say Sam Darnold ended up in San Francisco. Let's say Jimmy Garoppolo ended up in New England. Let's say the Jets drafted Zach Wilson. Trevor Lawrence goes to Jacksonville. Is there a chance Deshaun Watson could be traded to Arizona in exchange for Kyler Murray and? Well, there could be, but the caveat is Kyler Murray could easily go, I ain't going. I'm going to go play baseball. And then the Texans miss out on their quarterback. But there's a lot of these hypotheticals because, as I remind you, there's wishful reporting. That's what Chicago is going through right now. That's all they're talking about in Chicago. Boy, what would it take to get Russell Wilson? Gosh, if we have Russell Wilson, are we a Super Bowl contender? I think because they were shocked that they were on the list, that's why you got to run with it. Like, wait, we're on the list. Okay, you're on the list. He likes their offensive line and for some reason likes Matt Nagy's play calling. Okay, but do I think he's going to the Bears? No. Do I think he's going to the Cowboys? No. Do I think he could go to the Raiders? Yes. Do I think he could go to the Saints? No. So, I'm Danny Downer here because nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear the possibility that Russ could end up with maybe their team. Yeah, Paul.
From the Saints standpoint, don't the Saints make the most sense? They're a good competitive team with a very good defense. They've got an opening at the quarterback position. They've got three other guys. One's probably retiring. One the fans don't believe in, and one's not a quarterback. They could trade four first-round draft picks, and those picks are all going to be like the 27th pick of the draft. I don't know if it's attractive from the Seattle standpoint. But from the Saints standpoint, I'm a Saints fan, I'm like, do whatever.
But Paulie, you're doing what everybody does.
That's what's going on. And
they go, hey, you know, I'm a Saints fan. We could get Russ, and we only have to give up this and this and this. Instead of if you're Seattle and you go, what are we getting? Taysom Hill and four first-round picks that are going to be in the upper 20s.
If I'm Seattle, I want Zion and a franchise as well. I want to
put the Zion Williamson?
Yes.
So then we open up that. We reopen up my Seattle NBA franchise, and we get Zion Williamson.
Yes, and start it up nice.
Okay. All right, let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Best and worst of the weekend. Poll question, McLovin. We spent a lot of time first hour talking about the All-Star break, the Nets getting Blake Griffin. The NFL franchise tags are supposed to be due tomorrow. If you don't have the TV deals done, then they're probably going to have to move that back a little bit. NCAA bids, Liberty, Winthrop, Loyola, Morehead State. Giannis wins the All-Star MVP, even though Steph should have won it. Okay, McLovin.
By the way, Sean Payton's never giving up on Taysom Hill. Never. He will try and prove that works until the end of time.
Mm.
And I don't think any team's trading for Taysom Hill either. So the poll was, who do you got, the Nets or the field? It's close. 87% say the field.
Jeff in Milwaukee leads us off. Hey, Jeff, best and worst of the weekend. What is on your mind?
Hey, DP. Best and worst came in about 25 minutes yesterday. Iowa-Wisconsin was shockingly fun to watch. And then the refs got involved.
Yeah.
And acting got involved. It was 20 real minutes for the last minute of the game. This is not watchable. Good. And I think college basketball is in trouble. The tourney's in trouble. I'm not excited to watch it.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those where, and by the way, the tournament does not start on that Thursday after Selection Sunday.
Excuse me.
It starts on Friday. We just found this out today. But it starts on Friday, not Thursday. And I'm talking about the opening round, first round, not the the first four in. It starts on Friday this year. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, what usually starts on Thursday with a huge slate of games, you know, noon to midnight, starts on Friday, then goes to Saturday. And then the second round, the 32 teams, is Sunday and Monday. People are going to be shocked when they turn on their TVs on Thursday.
Monday at noon?
Monday
at basketball?
Yeah, full slate.
Why are they not having it on Thursday?
I cannot find an explanation yet. But then the Sweet 16, it doesn't start Thursday, Friday. It's Saturday, Sunday. And then the Elite Eight is on Monday and Tuesday evening in prime time. Odd.
Well, if there was somebody that we could contact, you know, like, does the NCAA have a home office that maybe somebody would be there?
Sorry.
No.
We've been calling for Mark Emmert for 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That ain't happening.
Yeah.
Brandy in Iowa. Hey, Brandy. Welcome back.
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
Double best. Same person. I thought maybe it'd make the play of the day was the insane shot from Bryson DeChambeau on Saturday. I can't say many times I've watched a golf replay, but that was one I had to watch over and over, and I still think it's going to hit the water. But then him also backing it up with the wind yesterday was definitely my best of the weekend.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, people made a big deal about that he hit a drive 370 yards. Well, Rory McIlroy, I think hit one 361 on the same hole. Rory hits it pretty close to where Bryson DeChambeau does. But it still comes down to a guy who hits it that far, I don't care how far you hit it. It's how many shots does it take for you to get in the hole? Drive for show, putt for dough. And that's going to stay with Bryson DeChambeau. You know, making big putts and being great with your wedges. And then if he does that, then it probably won't be fair. But I was hoping he was going to try to drive the green. That's what I wanted to see. Yeah, Paul.
When he hits the drive, though, if you watch the replay, he hits it, his follow through. He whips, his back looks like it's going to fly out into the stratosphere. Yeah. He puts his arms up like number one, like, I did it. Like, he knew he'd hit it on the screws or whatever they say, because the look on his face was like, oh, I got it. Like, he's the only one not looking to see where it went.
I remember when Tiger first started out, and I was talking to Freddie Couples. And Freddie, of course, famously has had back issues. And I said, can you keep up a swing that's that violent? And he said, no, because of your back and then the torque that you put on your knees. Well, look at what Tiger has gone through. Back issues and knee issues. Can Bryson DeChambeau get enough out of that swing in this amount of time? Because at some point, you can't swing that way. You can't continue to swing that way. I don't know if he's adding more weight or is he at a weight where he's comfortable, but that's a powerful guy. You know, when the ball is in the grass and in the rough and you can't see it, it takes an inordinate amount of strength to get it out of there and do something with it. And that's big difference. That's a big advantage for him. Yeah, Paul.
3 years ago, Bryson DeChambeau was the 100th ranked player in the world. Now he's fifth.
Well, he's must-see TV. Just because of how far he hits it. And then you play into that. Because, you know, he came up with an iron on one hole, and you could hear the crowd. They're like, you know, it's audible. They're like, oh. Like, nobody wants to see you hit a stinger, hit a 5-iron 250. They want to see you be John Daly. Get out there and just grip it and rip it. But it, you know, as great as he is at hitting it that far, is he a great golfer? And that's, we're going to find that out. You know, big time making putts. That's what it's all about. I mean, think about Tiger. Tiger went, it felt like a decade where he didn't miss a putt within 6 feet. A big putt. Never. I mean, that doesn't happen. But if, you know, you get to that point, and that's when you win. That's when you win big. That's when you win majors. Yeah, Pauline.
I went back and looked at young John Daly, and it's a great comparison by you because people tuned in to see John and hit it long. He's not a huge guy, and he wasn't even a heavy guy when he was younger, John Daly. And he's definitely not a muscular guy. Like, John Daly was doing it without the benefit of really a lot of size and definitely not muscle.
He had flexibility.
Yeah.
Crazy flexibility. You know, I remember going down to Arkansas, and I hung out with John, and we went to the range, and he just started hitting drives. And back then, hitting at 300 yards was not many people were hitting at 300 yards. And he just did it with, he had a heater in his mouth, and it was just like, this is no big deal. But DeChambeau, it feels like his backbone is going to go through his sternum one day. What happened to DeChambeau? Sternum. Backbone went right through his sternum. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, he didn't make it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in with the Chicago Bears. I'm trying to be fair to this. Paulie goes, I don't know. It might be a real story, you know, with Russ. And I go, okay, Paulie. We'll check in with the Bears beat writer, Brad Biggs. He'll join us coming up because that is the story in Chicago right now. More phone calls. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend as well as 22 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. No limit on how much you can earn. How amazing is that? In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the United States that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. You can learn more. Discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have our St. Patrick's Day t-shirts available, danpatrick.com. Actually, it's one that's Happy Dan Patrick's Day.
Oh.
One of the t-shirts there. You want to be involved in our bracket challenge, March Madness? Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. It recaps what happened on the show, gives you a heads up to other things going on. Sign up, danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out bottom right corner. Brad Biggs covers the Bears. He's an NFL columnist, and he joins us on loan from the Chicago Tribune. Brad, let me start when you first, the city learned that Russell Wilson put the Bears on the list. What was the reaction locally to the Bears being in the Final Four?
Dan, that was the biggest quarterback news that the Bears have had this offseason. You know, that's the best quarterback development that's come along for them in a long time. The hope has to be that doesn't serve as the highlight of this offseason for them.
Can we hold on, Brad, because you got a little bit of an echo there. Let me see if we can fix that. I don't know if you have a volume up on your end with your computer, but we'll see if we can work on that. Yeah, Paulie.
See, I told you, when it comes to Bears and quarterbacks, things go wrong around it.
Mm.
You know, even the Zoom call can't be connected the right way. Mm.
Don't they talk about things just like sort of bouncing around the echo chamber in Chicago right now? That's sort of...
Now, let me try it again, Brad. How's it sound?
I think we're going to have to wait a little while longer.
Let me see. Brad, does that sound in?
No, we have to wait. We can't go to him right now.
Oh.
Right.
Then we'll hold on.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to him later. Yes, McLovin.
Just like the Bears may have to wait for a solution at quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By the way, we could ask Brad, but who's the quarterback if not Russell Wilson? They run him Foles back?
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work there. Let me get a couple of phone calls here, and we'll see if we can reestablish a better connection. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff.
I ain't following my mom. Still an airbag.
Jeff.
Got to go ahead and drop Jeff.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know. I thought we were rolling here. Yeah, Paulie.
I'm saying this again. You dipped your toe in the Bears quarterback history and stayed the Bears quarterbacks, and everything just crumbles.
Should I try another phone call here?
Unless it's Mitch Trubisky, nothing's going to work.
Austin in Illinois. Hey, Austin, what's on your mind today?
Dan, good morning. First time, long time. Calling about the University of Illinois Fighting Illini and the Big Ten. Criteria to determine the conference champion. Illinois sitting at 16-4, Michigan 14-3. Michigan holds the percentile 8-4, Illinois 800. However, in the win-loss column, Illinois is up a half game with owning the head-to-head, Illinois beating Michigan. Do they have any right to claim a share of the title?
Oh, I don't know. Sure, why not? I'm not in a fighting mood today, Austin, but Illinois did roll Michigan. That was impressive. Didn't even have your best player. Yeah, Paul.
People are fired up about the Illini. It's been a while.
Been a long time.
Yeah.
They have once every decade, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, with the D. Brown team, Darren Williams.
Darren
team.
Williams. Yeah. Yes, McClellan.
I think we need to set a ruling on how much Paulie can claim ownership of the Illinois team.
It's once a decade, I mentioned.
Yeah, but you were a little late this year.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And for good reason. I get it.
And you went to Southern Illinois.
Right. I grew up actually a DePaul fan. I was a DePaul basketball fan.
Yeah.
It's been a while for them.
Yeah. I don't know if I can let you go all in on
that. How about if they have to make the Final Four for me to speak about?
Final Four, then you can talk about Illinois basketball. Brad Biggs is back covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Brad, before we were rudely interrupted, the reaction to the city when you realized that you're on Russell Wilson's Final Four.
Yeah, I think it was a huge development. Bears fans were fired up. The hope for not only the fans, but the team has to be that the Bears being on this list of four teams that the agent shared with Adam Schefter isn't the highlight of their quarterback developments for this offseason, because if it isn't there, it will probably be disappointment for the Chicago Bears at Hollis Hall as they try to solve the seven-decade quest to replace Sid Luckman.
But I'm Danny Downer today because I don't think this happens with the Bears. I don't think Russ is traded this year. But it's wishful reporting that we have. There's a lot of hope there. The realistic possibility that Russell Wilson is a Chicago Bears is what? A Chicago Bear is what?
I don't think the odds are great for the Bears. I don't, because you can come up with a list of reasons why it makes sense for the Bears from now until the end of your show today. We could bang our heads against the wall to come up for motivating factors for the Seahawks to do this trade. Seattle has been a perennial contender with Russell Wilson on the roster. Every season, the Seahawks are in the mix, at the minimum, in the NFC West, in the conference, and a shot to vie for a Super Bowl berth. Take him off that roster. I don't know what they have, and I don't know how they replace him in a trade with the Bears. And obviously the Bears can't give Seattle a quarterback that makes them a contender. Nick Foles won't check that box for them. So they'd have to make a separate move then to acquire the replacement. And I just don't see it. I mean, what would lead Pete Carroll down that path? I have a hard time envisioning it. I'm with you.
What about Deshaun Watson? That possibility. A month ago, that was the topic in Chicago.
Yeah, well, I think what separates the two guys is that Wilson's camp has come out and put Chicago on a list of just a few teams. Both of the quarterbacks have a no-trade clause, so they can kind of pick and choose a potential destination. No one has publicly linked the Bears to Watson, besides Bears fans, right, to this point. So I think that's the big difference there. The Houston situation is completely discombobulated right now. I don't know if anyone has a good guess when there could be some movement or a development there. Both sides are really dug in. So I think that's what separates the two. Sure, the Bears and Ryan Pace should call Nick Caserio and the Texans two or three times a week until Houston tells them to buzz off. But I don't know that's a realistic possibility for the Bears either. And again, same thing. How do the Bears swing a trade with Houston that puts the Texans in position to replace their 25-year-old star quarterback. Yeah. The Bears can't do that.
But you know how this works, though, Brad. We always look at one side of a trade. We don't look at the other side,
which is,
what is Seattle getting back? What would the Texans get back? It's, hey, the Bears with Russell Wilson, are they a Super Bowl contender? And I always go, well, yeah, they probably would be, but let's get back to reality here. And what is plan B if you don't land a quarterback via a trade?
Yeah, that's where, you know, I've said it's going to plan C. If you have Wilson and Watson in some order as A or B, you go to plan C. The most intriguing guy to me for the Bears in that scenario might be Jameis Winston. Drew Brees is yet to retire. If Drew Brees somehow returns to the Saints, I would think that would put Jameis in play for a bunch of these quarterback needy teams and make him an interesting candidate. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to continue his career? Will Marcus Mariota be cut and put him in a position where you don't have to trade to acquire him from Las Vegas? Could they have interest in trying to rehab Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold would be a risky proposition for the Bears from the standpoint that the GM Ryan Pace and the coach Matt Nagy, they're under pressure to win this season. The word that ownership used was that needed to see progress after consecutive 8-8 seasons.
It was another P word in there. It's playoffs is what it is, Brad. Not progress.
Well, they got to the playoffs this year, Dan. They've got to either win in the playoffs or get into the playoffs with a much better record than 8-8 when they actually backed into the thing.
Is Mitchell Trubisky bad or just not good enough?
He needs a fresh start elsewhere, and the Bears need a fresh start. And you know, he probably needs some new voices in his ear too. He works hard. He's diligent. It didn't happen here. He's got a good record. He's 29-21 as a starter. That's a pretty good level of experience for a guy that has been in the league for 4 years. But I think he's going to benefit from a change of scenery.
But imagine if the Bears didn't pass on Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and they got Mitchell Trubisky like later in the first round. I wonder about the expectation level. I don't know if that would have helped. Well, it probably would have helped. I don't know if it would have helped enough, but it just felt like whatever Mitchell Trubisky did, it always paled in comparison to what Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes did. And as you know, a lot of times you're compared to the person that you were in the draft with, like Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers or Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning. Mitchell Trubisky was never going to be good enough, it felt like.
Right, and that's why a fresh start elsewhere, while that storyline's still going to follow him wherever he goes, it's not going to be front and center quite as much as it's been here in Chicago, where they not only drafted him ahead of Watson and Mahomes, but traded up to draft him. You know, the Bears, so you look at what they've invested in the position, they traded a first-round pick, two-thirds and two-fourths to trade up to get Trubisky, and then to acquire Nick Foles in a trade a year ago. Foles is the only one that remains under contract for them, so it's quite a mess for them right now as they hope to somehow get better offensively and win with a defense that they feel remains playoff ready after a second half slump.
How about this? You just don't have a quarterback, Brad.
No, they don't.
No, but how about we just don't have one?
Oh, we just don't have one? Yeah. Well, we'd have to create some new rules for the game, right?
Just the Wildcat.
Wildcat?
Yeah, I just, you know, go Red Grange on him. You know, let's just,
boy.
Yeah, like, because if Nick Foles is going to be your quarterback or Jameis Winston, and like, that's not the momentum you want to have after being a playoff team the previous year.
It would put them in a position where there would be little room for error with the moves that they're going to make around the position this offseason when you look ahead to free agency, which opens next week, and then the draft. They would have to be razor sharp in terms of they brought in some guys, They made some real value buys. They helped out, and they'll have to hit in the draft. The quarterbacks that are after Watson and Wilson are guys that you can win with, maybe not win because of, and therefore you're going to have to be better around that position.
Should be fun, but, you know, tamp down these expectation levels, Brad.
I'm trying to encourage Bears fans not to get too dreamy.
Tell them to talk about Illinois basketball or Zach LaVine or, I don't know, something else. Cause
White Sox might be a good story.
Yeah, that's it, with Tony La Russa, the ageless Tony, the genius Tony La Russa. Brad, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Have a great day.
That's Brad Biggs. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. You know, why let good reporting or reality get in the way of a good story? Because all of these talk shows, all of them, Russell and the Bears, Super Bowl contender, what if Dak leaves the Cowboys? That's all this is about. Headlines, false hope. Yes, he...
It's like the reality TV show part of the NFL.
Meaning?
Like all of this sort of like wishful fake thinking. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, what if this happened? What all of like the rumors and all of that stuff. It's like, it's reality TV, but it's fake.
We'll take a break. We give you our best and worst of the weekend right after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Oh, the new merch is in. I just saw this for St. Paddy's Day. Got the new t-shirts here. Go to danpatrick.com and order your St. Patrick's Day gear. Or happy Dan Patrick's Day. All right, best and worst of the weekend. Let's go around the room. I'm going to start back left. Todd, best and worst.
Best of the weekend. Saturday, the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Our friend Jordan Spieth aces the second hole. His next shot went into the water, but let's focus on the hole-in-one. So nice job by Jordan Spieth. There was a couple of hole-in-ones in that event. Worst, Indiana basketball. They lose to Purdue again Saturday, making it 9 straight losses against the Boilermakers. A few weeks back, the Hoosiers looked like they were going to get an invitation to the dance for sure. Now they may need to win the Big Ten tournament outright to get in.
Okay, McLovin?
Well, obviously, my best was the unbelievable performance yesterday. The sky-high, dazzling. Nikola Jokic had a tip-in alley-oop dunk that was sizzling. Oh, my gosh. You're 7 feet tall. Dunk an alley-oop, dude. I'm sorry. Not to mention Mike Conley went 1 from 6 for the field in his first All-Star game. And
how did your Sixers do in the All-Star game?
They're wrestling for the second half. This worked out perfectly. You know what, actually, my best? I thought the dunk contest guys were pretty good. Considering it was such a bad format, like those guys could fly. I think we're underrating how high all three of them jumped. That was insane.
I'm assuming if you're in the dunk contest, you probably can jump pretty high.
Yeah, but that high? That guy put a ball 2 feet over the rim. I don't think every dunk contest guy can do that. It was he kissed the rim. Like, that's pretty high, even for a dunk contest guy.
It just goes to show you that you can jump out of the gym. That doesn't necessarily mean you can play basketball.
But also with the dunk contest, there's been so many years of it, it's hard to do anything original, right? I mean, isn't that part of the problem?
Yeah. I would just have a point guard dunk contest where you just had to be a point guard. Or you got to be 6'2 and under and have a dunk contest. I don't know. Something, if we have the skills competition and we have 7-footers out there running around doing the cone drill, I just, it's not a skills competition. What's the skill? I could dribble around 4 cones.
Crisp bounce passes?
And you don't even do a bounce pass. Oh. It's a chest pass, two-hand chest pass into a net.
But you're Mr. Fundamentals. You think you'd love this.
No, I'm not. No, I don't like fundamentals.
Oh.
But I like players who understand the game. But I don't go, wow, that was taxing. That skills competition, that's incredible. What do I have to do? You dribble around the cones, and then you throw a crisp chest pass, and then you go down and make a 3. My God, I'm going to be taxed. This is so draining. Did you have anything else besides ripping on Jokic and the Jazz?
No. I had some negative things to say more about Utah, but I'll save it for later.
Why are you doing this?
I'm not alone. Did you hear what LeBron said about them?
Well, I don't understand what LeBron was talking about. That just because Stockton and Malone played in Utah and you never played whatever video game with the Utah Jazz, that you're not taking Donovan Mitchell. Like, I'm not taking Rudy Gobert in an All-Star game.
Oh, I got my worst, by the way. Sorry. Okay. Guess who came after me on Twitter?
I heard.
Yeah, what's up with that? Mr. Sensitive.
That's where you have to let the audience know, McLovin.
Well, I was teasing it.
Oh, is that what you were doing?
So Saturday night, there was no All-Star game. There was no All-Star Saturday night. I got bored, and I listed my favorite five dunkers, and I left one guy out, and he reminded me on Twitter, Dominique Wilkins and okay. I are having Twitter beef.
Give me... It wasn't a beef.
Dominique Wilkins?
Yes.
Neek.
The human highlight.
Yeah, I had top five in-game dunkers, but the problem is I don't really remember Dominique as an in-game dunker. I don't recall that.
He was a great in-game dunker.
But nothing jumped to mind because that was a long time ago. Okay. I had more modern guys, and he sent me a highlight of him dunking in a game. That was unbelievable.
Okay, your top five dunkers, in-game dunkers.
Oh, they were pretty obvious. Vince Carter, Dr. J. I had Michael Jordan.
Perhaps you have heard of him.
I put Sean Kemp, a personal favorite. And the controversial one, I put Blake Griffin. And people are like, what are you doing?
No, you can't have Blake.
I looked at the highlights. The dude is jumping over Kias in actual games. He can fly.
Oh, really? There was a car out there on the floor?
Early Blake Griffin. It's a different player now. Early Blake Griffin was pretty good. We were talking about this morning.
That's what I would do. I'd bring out Antoine Carr. And I would jump over him to say I jumped over a car. Austin Carr. Yeah, Paul.
This is so great. It's actually Dominique Wilkins' Twitter account. I assume McLovin got baited, because he usually does. And he sent back a bunch of game film and dunks.
It's great.
We got to have Neek on.
Dominique, in-game dunker.
Best.
Yeah, he's there.
So it wasn't just a dunk contest?
No.
Okay. See,
no.
I didn't totally know that.
He was violent. On follow-up dunks. If somebody missed a shot, and, you know, he really was. Dominique was violent when he dunked. Sean Kemp is a good one, though. I'll give you Sean Kemp.
Anyone jump out that I miss?
Oh,
David Thompson? Somebody tweeted me that.
He didn't play long enough. And he played... I don't know how many people saw David Thompson. I always like when we throw out these names, and I go, did you see him? No, but I hear... David was a great scorer, a spectacular leaper, but I don't remember him being an in-game dunker. And I always say, like I look at in-game dunker, and I always, like I envision you do something in traffic, not just I was all alone and I dunked, it's I'm going to dunk on you, or I'm going to follow up this missed shot. That's what I look at with an in-game dunker. More best and worst coming up. Final hour, Seton, Pauly, Fritz, and McLovin. Yours truly, right here on the Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out the second hour. Callaway. A lot of players yesterday at the Arnold Palmer Golf Tournament using Callaway, the Apex Irons. You get to experience what the pros use. Callaway is built on the legendary Apex franchise with the help of artificial intelligence. So you pair cutting-edge technology with classic forged craftsmanship. Callaway created the player's distance category. Now they've taken Apex performance to an extraordinary level. The Apex 21 Irons, amazing combo of tour feel, incredible distance, shot making control. You got a forged blade and a player's iron for everyone to use. The Apex Pro, scratch golfer, single digit, Apex DCB, the deep cavity back, that's what I have. There are a lot of irons out there. Nothing delivers everything like Apex does. So Apex Pro, Callaway's Apex Standard Irons, Apex DCB, the deep cavity back. Try them all out. Find which one fits your game. Apex Irons, available at callawaygolf.com/Apex.